Gant is proud to have sponsored the first episode of It's Been a Week. From pioneering shirt makers to masters of elevated American sportswear, Gant is an iconic heritage brand. Be sure to visit Gant.com today. Got me upside down, spinning around you. Hello and welcome to It's Been a Week.
Well, let's be honest, Jack, when has it not been a week?
I feel like we should be introducing this podcast by saying, it's been a week.
It really has.
This is, of course, our first podcast episode. So thank you for joining us. I'm Jackie Felgate. You'll hear from me and PR guru, my friend, one of the people I laugh with most in this world. She is a businesswoman, a mum of three. Oh my God. And the sassiest person I know, Alicia Grabowski. Hi.
Hi. Thank you, Jack. Now, you are definitely 100%, 1 million percent the person that I laugh with the most about many, many things in my life. But I was thinking, how on earth are we going to fit this in? Because you are so busy, I am so busy. But we're going to get it done.
We are. And we hope you'll join us for this crazy little ride every week. And the thing about this podcast is we want to make you part of it. We're passionate about news. We're passionate about information. So we think if we're interested in it, then you will be too. The challenges that we face as a 40-year-old woman and a woman in her late 30s, she's still hanging in there.
I'm not there yet.
You know, someone who's a long way from there.
He's a very long way from it.
Is our new producer, Sam, because it's always the people behind the podcast that make it a success.
That's right. We searched high and low. We measured them up. But Sam, there was a few things Sam said to us that we couldn't go past. We were like, you're hired.
Sam, what did you say to us?
I think I was just killing you with kindness at the start, wasn't I?
We're not used to that.
He said to us, you're both really funny.
Yeah.
And so then, we said, you're hired.
Yeah. And we were like, okay, done deal. He also said to us, I don't think you could ever look bad.
I wish our husbands would say that to us.
Well, I have a great relationship with my mother who I try and compliment all the time. So
mothers are very important.
All of our listeners are going to get to know Sam very well. And every week we're encouraging you to follow us on Insta at It's Been a Week Podcast. Send us in your questions. Slide into our DMs. I've always wanted to say that. And we'll play a selection. We want to make you part of the chat and part of this pod. Every week we're going to try and equip you for the week and we want your feedback. We want to know what you like. We want to know what you don't like.
But look, enough about us. Let's get into the news of the week.
And one of the biggest stories this week has been that vision, that viral vision of the Qantas baggage handlers. You, of course, can see that on our Insta. It's at Been a Week Pod. What did you think when you saw it?
I was shocked. I just thought these people are in a workplace. Mm. They are literally slam dunking people's personal possessions who pay good money for tickets on these airlines.
Extra money.
Extra into a conveyor belt. And so it could happen to any of us. So many of us are going to be traveling when it comes to Christmas and New Year. So many of us have started traveling again after COVID. And to see that, it was really disappointing.
It's a bit of a violation, isn't it, when you think I work really hard for the things that I like. Who knows what's in that suitcase? And there was that particular shot of the guy as he particularly body slammed
the baggage onto the carousel. I think Qantas, there's a whole story in this as well from a Qantas and a PR point of view. I think they stood those workers down, but that does not go far enough.
It's interesting that you say that. My take on this is also obviously during the pandemic, Qantas did stand down its workforce almost entirely. And they also made many people redundant. And a lot of those people were the baggage handlers. And then they were rehired as a contractor and they get paid a lot less to essentially do the job that they were doing before, but for less money. So a lot of them, you would imagine, are rather unhappy and it's an incredibly tough job.
Look, at the end of the day though, I don't think that matters to paying customers. I think Qantas has a responsibility, whether it's an employee directly hired by them or whether it's a contractor. These people need to be doing their job and they need to be doing it correctly and they are not.
It was a good ad for Red Bull as well.
It was front and centre.
As part of that, obviously it's been everywhere online. I've been sent some really interesting vision of an Australia Post postie and he literally drop kicks the parcel, potentially the Christmas present.
Yeah, the Christmas present.
I know it's
present.
Been the World Cup, but he puts them to shame.
It's
Messi-esque, I tell you what. But that vision, again, you feel a bit violated. You can see it on our Instagram page, but someone's purchased that good and they expect it to be delivered to their front door without it being kicked to the front door.
And I think it is interesting as well from a branding point of view and a PR point of view when we talk about Qantas and we talk about AusPost. These are brands that used to be loved by Australians and they're not so much anymore. And is this why?
Couldn't agree with you more. They're outsourcing all the time. We're cost cutting. And as part of that, you lose that brand loyalty.
Yeah.
The other huge story of this week, interest rates and the Reserve Bank Governor Philip Lowe. Here's what he had to say.
Caveats in what we said. My language was always caveated. People listened to what we'd said and acted on that and now find themselves in a position they don't want to be in.
Okay.
I feel patronised. I'm offended. I think if Australians cannot trust the governor of the RBA in this day and age and in this financial crisis essentially that we're going through, who can we trust?
This is a person who's on close to $1 million a year and has no mortgage. With the latest interest rate rise this week, they're now at 3.1%. So on the average $700,000 mortgage, that's over $1,000 a month that every family, every person, every single person with a mortgage has to find. That's not easy money to find in the current economic climate.
These people took his advice, many of them, and are now doing it even tougher than they already were. And he has apologised and sort of in a way it's like too sad, like too bad, so sad, off you go. You should have read the T's and C's. There was caveats around what I was saying. I mean, who in their right mind is going to go on to the RBA website and look at the T's and C's and considerations that the governor, you know, was announcing? It's very, very unfair.
I'm sure there are a lot of people listening to this now though who are shaking their heads at us and saying, well, no, you're responsible for your own money at the end of the day. You can take it or leave it, what the RBA has to say. But on the other hand, the RBA is the governing body, right? So if he says we're not going to raise interest rates till mid next year, then how much of that do we take as fact and how much of it are we responsible for our own finances and not borrowing six times what we earn to repay?
Look, I think at the end of the day they are, the RBA, the most credible source when it comes to finance in Australia. And I think we should, as Australians, be able to trust them. And the sad thing is we cannot.
Speaking of stepping down, do you think he should step down?
I think he should have absolutely stepped down. I think he should have been sacked. I think he went too far. He even owned the fact that he overstimulated the economy. It was his fault what went wrong.
You always say to me though, from a PR point of view, when you make a mistake, the first thing you should do is apologise and be sincere in that.
Yes, which he did, but this has gone too far and it has affected too many Australians, too many struggling families. It's too serious what he's done.
Let's segue now into two people who do not have any financial issues.
Oh, no.
It's one of your favourite topics and it's one that you and I really disagree on.
Yes, we do.
Meghan and Harry, my take on this is I desperately want to love her.
Why?
I think it starts with when they came to Australia. I covered that story and the crowds, 10 deep, 20 deep, and also just people I knew in the periphery of my life messaging me going, do you know where they're going next? We want to see her. We want to see him. We want to be there. And you just don't get that. The royal visit was such a success. There was such love for this woman. And now, to put no finer point on it, there is such hate for her.
Yes.
And I feel for her.
Yes.
I do feel. Imagine carrying that weight around with you all the time. It would be awful.
Well, you spoke about accountability in the last segment. She needs to be accountable for what she's doing. She says she doesn't want to be a part of the royal family anymore. So step away. Do something different. Please don't go and create a Netflix documentary about the fact that you want privacy. It's cannibalising her whole message.
One of the early points about the Netflix documentary is, of course, she's upset on the couch.
She's extremely upset.
Behind her is the $3,000 Hermes blanket,
yes,
which the average person couldn't dream of ever owning. And they talk about needing security and needing money and needing to maintain a lifestyle. It's coming from a very privileged position. So I do have trouble with that. But also, at one point, she was the most hated woman in the world. And I can't speak to her, but I can speak to my experience when you are trolled. And it is a terrible thing to have happened to you. And it happened to me during the pandemic when I was posting a lot about COVID and a lot about vaccination. And I had en masse thousands of people from anti-vaccine groups come at me and post me on their pages and ask people to troll me en masse. And I remember waking up and just seeing on my page – just people just going at me and going at me and going at me. And one person in particular threatening to kill me and my kids. And, you know, we live in a small Melbourne. It is very much a village. It was very easy to work out through their social media profile who this person was. And in the end, you just ignored it. You realised she was obviously someone who was struggling and there was no way that she could actually do that. But if you amplify that and you take that out on a grand scale, this is a woman who's subject to some incredibly just terrible racist remarks though, but to have the weight of the world, the hate of the world on you, I can't imagine what that would be like.
Well, she needs to change tact. You know, you speak about seeing all those DMs and you speak about what it was like, and aren't you glad that that's over? For some reason, she's remained on the same path when it comes to the royal family.
I still – look, I'm going to watch it.
Well, we're both going to watch it. We're going to talk about it next week.
We will, and we want you to watch it too. So send us a DM.
Let us know.
It's Been a Week podcast, and let us know what you think. Do you agree with me or do you agree with Alicia? Do you
do you agree with? Let's Meghan take Markle. Sides. Slide into the DM with a side.
But look, she's a mother too, isn't she? And it's hard for any mother, whether you're coming from a position of wealth or not. Every mum has a challenge, don't they?
Mum guilt. It's everywhere. I feel like it's at school pickup, drop off. It's in the business world. It's everywhere. Anyone who's a mum feels it.
Our husbands suffer from dad guilt?
Absolutely not. Not a guilty bone in their bodies apart from other things.
But you do talk about mum guilt a bit, and this happened to you on the weekend.
It did. It happened to me on the weekend. My two sons, who were a year apart at school, were playing each other in basketball, and I was so torn. I couldn't choose a child.
Do you have a favourite child?
I do, but it's my daughter. So so this made the basketball game even more difficult. And to add to this, I'm actually the coach of my younger son's team.
And you were coaching against your older son, who was actually coached by former St Kilda champion Stuart Lowe, and we spoke to him after the game.
She might only be 5 foot nothing and half my size, but my goodness, she's more than competitive than a lot of blokes I know. It was undoubtedly hard for her to coach against her older son's team, but she took it in her stride, and like most things in parenting, it's always a fine balancing act.
So anyway, I did get over the mum guilt because it was just a game, and in the end, you know, you're teaching. I'd got to teach one son who is in my team to win and the other one to lose graciously. So it all worked out in the end.
I love the visual of you being 5 foot nothing coaching against one of the greats of AFL.
He's not short. But Jack, you're a mum. Tell me about your mum guilt.
I think for me it was really real last year when, you know, I was working and I realised that I wasn't coping as well as I should have been with the hours and juggling and just not being there for the kids during COVID, realising when my hours changed that I actually couldn't do this anymore. And there was a day when I was driving into work and I was just sobbing and sobbing in the car. And, you know, we're in a privileged position, all of us, when we have a job and when we can choose to leave that job. But for me, I realised I'd put my kids beneath my career and the guilt for that was almost crippling to the point that, well, it's one of the reasons why I gave up the job that I had and tried to work for myself, and I'm really lucky that that's worked out. But on a lighter note, just some random mum guilt that I had happened to me yesterday. My older child is actually starting at a new school, and we thought we'll make a real fuss of this because it's a big deal to start in a new school when you're only 10. So my husband and I made sure we were there to pick her up at 3:30. At 3:45, I got a phone call saying, we've got your other kid. I've gotten to pick up the other one, the five-year-old. And lucky one of the other mums from school stepped in.
If you had three, you'd be in real strife,
That's
Jack.
Why I don't have three. I can't. I'm not responsible enough to have three. So have you ever forgotten your kids?
No, I actually haven't. I haven't.
Can't You're not say like I have. Me. Sam, have you ever? You don't have kids.
No,
but
I do not.
Way too young.
He is too young. But you've got a story about someone being forgotten.
I do. Christmas Day, about 10 years ago, we had my little brother got an electric guitar for Christmas, and the whole family went from our house where we had lunch, and our nan was selling her house. So we all sort of went and said goodbye to nan's house in a way, about 15 minutes away. After about half an hour, we realised that the four cars that left one house had left the six-year-old at home by himself.
Oh,
and we rocked up back home and let's just say it was a scene. the younger brother, Tom, is still getting over it to this day.
Is he really good at guitar now though? Because he had all that time to practice
I think,
alone.
No, you know what? I think he's got PTSD from the guitar. He never played it again.
The forgotten child.
He retired early.
Poor guy.
Oh, well, have you ever forgotten your kids? Send us your stories. Slide into our DMs at It's Been a Week podcast. We're going to go to our next segment, Alicia, but this one, it's a work in progress, isn't it? We're calling it Embarrassment of the Week.
We can do better though.
So let us know if you can think after hearing this story. We're going to look each week. It can be anyone or anything, someone you know, a public figure, but we're going to start as this week's embarrassment with your husband, Tom, Alicia, and this little story. I was scrolling Instagram, as I like to do, and I came across this photo on the Harper's Bazaar Instagram page of a scantily clad woman. Like, she looked fabulous. She was very curvaceous, very voluptuous, but she was dressed in a really tight bondage outfit. And you know, with Instagram, you can't show nipple. Well, this was probably skirting the line.
All sorts of things.
It was skirting the line. But the first person, I thought, oh, geez, that's a bit risque. And the first person that liked it was your husband,
Yes, he was. And you alerted me to it. You took a screen grab and you slid into my DMs and you were like, hey, take a look at this.
And where were you at the time?
Just on the couch next to him. Yeah, so that was nice. I sent him the screen grab because I wouldn't open my mouth and speak to him while we were on the couch together. And he had a bit of defence.
Here's what he had to say.
To be 100% honest, I think this is the first time in my life I've ever been given a writer reply. I can't get a word in around my wife, let alone her and Jackie together. Secondly, what can I say? It was art.
So, yeah, Jack, apparently it was art.
Art. It's like what, you know, reading Playboy for the articles, I think, the modern day version of that.
Yeah,
yeah. It's but art. What's the most embarrassing thing you've ever seen your husband like on social media?
Yes.
Let us know.
Because do they actually know that everyone else can see what they're liking?
My husband definitely doesn't. but, yeah, we want to know. And each week we're going to play the audio of our best responses. So if you want to send us any type of feedback at all, do that and we'll play the best ones
via
next week.
An audio grab. We would love some audio grabs.
Whether it's naughty husbands, forgetting your kids, whatever you want to talk about, we want to hear from you. And it is Christmas time, Alicia, and you've got a nice little story here.
Oh, we want to end on the little Christmas ham. I mean, it's a festive season. Everyone loves the Christmas ham, and the best, Australia's best Christmas ham has just been revealed. And it's a Victorian right here in Melbourne, a Laverton man. His name's Andrew and he's from Andrew's Small Goods. And he's going to tell us a little bit about what makes his ham the best.
Our secret is we use all female pigs. They're all Victorian pigs. The attention to detail to make sure that every Christmas ham that we are smoking is absolutely spot on.
Jack, can you believe it? It's always the women. It's always the females. We do everything. We do the work. We do the pregnancies. We do the periods. We do... And now it's the females doing the ham.
And the boy pigs are just sort of hanging in the paddock having a nice Christmas while the female hams are on the table.
They're just drinking beer and liking things on Instagram.
I'm terrible with my Christmas ham because every year I buy, because Christmas hams are expensive.
They're
right?
very expensive. And this was the other thing I was going to talk about. It needs to be good if you're going to pay, you know, $60 to $70 for this Christmas ham.
So every year I buy my Christmas ham and I always think I'm going to do one of those great pictures where, you know, you put the cloves in and you slice it up and it looks like some sort of great, you know, 1995's American telly movie where they hand the ham over at Christmas time. And each Christmas Eve, I usually get so pissed we end up.
It's always a Merry Christmas at the Fellgates.
It is. And so the ham is never glazed. But now I've got those tips from our new ham man,
Andrew.
And you know what ham rhymes with? It rhymes with Sam.
Oh, look at that.
So, Sam, what did you think of our first podcast?
Look, it's been great. I was actually thinking after a few meetings with you guys that I might have to put the explicit rating on.
Yes.
This has been, this has been pretty clean. So very you might have to change that.
I felt a bit offended when you said that because I thought, why would you put an explicit warning on anything I say? But
well, Jackie's the person who swears the most.
I promise you I won't swear on this. I guess that does wrap it up. But I would like to ask everyone again to please send your questions in to us on DM. You can leave us an audio message. We're going to play the best ones next week, and we hope you enjoyed it.
And it's been a week, but we hope that you are all set for another one.
See you next week.
Founded in 1949, Gant has inspired the world with its iconic American East Coast style for over seven decades. From pioneering shirt makers to masters of elevated American sportswear, Gant is a true heritage brand, rich in history and dedicated to quality. Make sure to check out Gant.com after listening to this episode of It's Been a Week. Know exactly what to do to blow my mind.